Gracious God, you have been good to us, and you have called us to follow you. So we pray that we might be like Philip, and when we run into our friends and acquaintances and co-workers, that we also would be able to say to them that we have found the one that you have sent, and that is good news for us. And if they doubt, that we could also respond as Philip did, to ask them to come and see. And we pray that you would grant them faith the way you have given us. In Jesus' name. So Jesus has been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, and the next day it says he decided to go to Galilee. Well, Galilee is to the north. It's full of Gentiles and some Jews, but it's that territory that is away from Jerusalem and the center of the religious life and the center of the political life of every Jew. But he decides to go to Galilee, and he calls a Galilean Jew, named Philip, who's from the city of Bethsaida, where Andrew and Peter also are from. So, and they were fishermen, Andrew and Peter. So Philip then finds a friend immediately after he's called by Jesus to follow him. And he says, "We have found the one that you and I both know, Moses talked about, and that the prophets talked about." Nathanael says, "You got to be joking. Can anything good come from what town? Nazareth?" And maybe the people from Hickory would say the same thing about us people from Alexander County or Bethlehem. They say, "Oh man, you get not. Can anything good come out of Bethlehem? Is that what goes on between Hickory and Bethlehem? Is there that kind of thing or not?" Shake your heads one way or another, up and down or sideways. Okay, all right. Maybe some people across the river or across the tracks or across the county line, huh? Whatever. Okay, there's always those kinds of things. The first place I had my church was in Perry County, okay, just west of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, state capital. And in our synod-wide, Perry County was known as, well, we were low on the totem pole, okay? We were the hicks. We were the country people. We were the stupid people. And I would always tell my colleagues when they'd make a comment or a joke about those people in Perry County, spelled P-E-R-R-Y, that, see, they couldn't even pronounce it right. It's Perry guy. But anyway, I would always say, but they need Jesus too. And they love Jesus just as much as your people love Jesus. So what's your problem? Right? So sometimes we have that attitude between places where, you know, those people aren't worth much. They don't know nothing. They aren't as good as we are. And Nathanael and so many other people. It's like Nazareth was just, it's one of those towns, if you blink, you missed it, right? I mean, those places where I never heard of this before. Well, it's because it's small enough and nothing happens there that you don't know about it. It's not that those people aren't important or that nothing good happens there, but you just don't hear about it. And Nazareth was one of those towns. It was bigger than a crossroads, but nobody big ever came from there yet. And even Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but his family lived in Nazareth. But you got to be kidding. You can't find the Messiah in Nazareth, Philip. Don't you know? But Philip says, come and see. You just come. You talk to this guy. You judge for yourself. So he does. And on his way, Jesus says about Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." And what the Greek means and says is, this is a true Israelite. This guy is a real Jew in whom there is no deceit. He's a real believer. A real man who honors God. He's really worthy of the name Israelite. A son of Jacob who was renamed Israel. But didn't he just say, you got to be joking. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. But you see, that's being honest, isn't it? That was his honest take on it at the moment. I doubt you, Philip. The Messiah can't come from Nazareth. And Jesus says, yeah, he's an honest Israelite. There's no deceit, no guile, is what some of the scriptures say. Some of the versions. Okay. And Nathaniel says, how do you know me? I saw you under the fig tree. So he's kind of amazed at how well Jesus knows him just from seeing him under the fig tree. Now, this doesn't tell us how else Jesus may have heard about Nathanael or known him anyway, and we're not supposed to try to guess at what reconnaissance Jesus had done before on Nathanael. Okay. But it's not about that. It's about him being the Son of God, the King of Israel, sent from God, who knows his people. He knows us. Nathanael didn't know him yet, but Jesus knew Nathanael. How do you know me? I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael immediately responds with some words of faith. Rabbi, so understands him as teacher, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. My gosh, just because you saw me under the fig tree, now you're the King of Israel? And just a minute ago, I said, you know, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. So why the change? Have you ever been somewhere? Yes or no question. Have you ever been somewhere? You were waiting for the rest of the question, weren't you? Okay, all right. Have you ever been somewhere? Or met somebody, and it didn't take very long, but it had such an effect on you that it changed your mind about something, and it changed the way you looked at certain people or things or places. And it may have been a matter of maybe 30 minutes, but whatever happened, whoever you saw made such an impression, had such a power to influence you in that short amount of time. We don't know how long Nathanael and Philip and Jesus talked. We don't know if this was all that they said to each other or if there was more. But this is the important part. But you come away with a whole different outlook. You know, those people aren't so bad. I've talked to some of those people from Perry County, and they really aren't as bad as I've heard. And from now on, I'm going to start to defend them. I'll speak up for them. Because really, they're just like we are. In fact, most of those people went to Harrisburg to work because they worked for the state, and then they'd come back home. And people would say about them, well, yeah, when they go to Harrisburg and they work, they seem like normal people, but they revert back to their... I'm like, what? See, we think that way about people, don't we? We think weird stuff about some people. Sometimes we even say, you know, that person will never believe in God. Have you ever said that about somebody? They're so far gone, they'll never believe. But we can't say that about people. We can't give up on people. Philip went to Nathanael knowing that Nathanael was an honest man. He would speak the truth and search things out and believe the truth, but he had to see it. He had to experience it. He had to know it, and that's true for everybody. But to be honest enough with ourselves to be able to know and speak the truth. So let me get to the point. Nathanael, after meeting Jesus, is able to see and understand and know that he is the Son of God, therefore the King of Israel. And Jesus says, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Is that all it took for you? Well, that's great, I suppose. But guess what? You will see greater things than these. Truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, our other lessons, briefly, Samuel talks about Samuel being able to hear the voice of God for the first time. It says he did not know the Lord, but he's serving under the high priest in the temple. He's sleeping, I guess, on the floor outside the Holy of Holies where the Ark of God was. And he thinks that Eli is calling him. But Eli says, no, go lay down. Stop bothering me. You're dreaming. And after the third time, he says, it must be the Lord. Next time he calls, you answer him. Samuel does. From that moment on, he is a man of God. His life has changed. He is an honest man who has the power of God in him to speak the word of God, to anoint kings, and to lead the people. Our second lesson talks about obeying God and being the temple of the Holy Spirit, having God live in us, and truly being God's people. Anointed and connected, one with Jesus in spirit. To belong only to him. To be faithful only to him. And that's the example that Philip and Samuel and Nathaniel and Paul and so many other saints before us give us. The challenge of knowing who our God is and being loyal and faithful only to him. As we read Scripture, we were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, as we read every Scripture to find out where we are in that story. Am I Philip? Was I one who when Jesus came to me and called me, did I drop everything and follow him right away, or did I have to study on it and think about it? Did I need a couple of minutes of convincing like Nathaniel? But then when I saw the truth, did I give myself fully to him? And am I that kind of an honest person? Honest with myself and honest with others. Am I like Samuel? Am I slow to discern the voice of God? Do I have to hear it a whole lot before I can say, yeah, that was God? Will I trust and believe those who lead me to God, like Eli or Philip? Will I trust others to lead me to God? Or is my loyalty split between, am I an adulterer, between the other gods and the one true God? How many of you knock on wood when something good happens? I heard that. My gosh. Darn, you know something else about me now. Some of you have metal plates in your head. I got a hunk of wood up there. How many of you, none of you do that? Do you? Oh my gosh. You know where that came from? People used to think that they had a piece of the original cross that Jesus was crucified on, as was common in those ancient days. Okay, and you'd have charlatans who would sell you a piece of wood and tell you it came from the cross. And because you wanted to believe it so much, you'd believe it, that you had a piece of the real cross. And if we took all those pieces that were sold as a piece of the cross, you know how big that cross would be? It would stretch from one end of the U.S. to the other, probably. All right, huge, because everybody had a piece, right? And when anything good happened, you would take your piece of the cross, and you would thank God for that. And that gradually, got into knock on wood. So you would knock on your piece of the cross. So I guess in a way it's okay to do that, except it's really not. Because what you're depending on is having not Jesus, but a piece of wood that he hung on. And it's not the piece of wood that saves us. It's the man who hung there, right? So stop knocking on wood. Okay? Stop wishing people good luck. Stop carrying around your lucky this or your lucky that. Because those are other gods. And you have to give them up. We don't worship the cross. We worship the man who died on the cross. We light all of our candles because Jesus, the man, is the light of the world. I wear these silly clothes on Sunday. I don't know why. I don't care. It's a long tradition that pastors don't want to give up. All right. Just so you know which one of us is your pastor. I don't know. Okay. We read the simple lesson, and when Jesus comes to us, we have a choice to respond in faith and follow him and nobody else. Or to say, I do not believe that he's the Son of God, the King of Israel, the one who died for me. Every single day, every moment of every single day, we are called to continue in that decision we made. All my Lutheran colleagues are going to kill me for saying that. We don't believe that we make that choice. We believe that God calls us. But when he calls us and says, follow me, don't we have to make a choice whether to follow him or not? Yes. So when you responded, see, they like that word better. When you responded to that call and followed, you turned your back on all the other gods you had. And we need to do that still today, every day. All the time, and follow only Jesus. As we said a couple of weeks ago, Jesus is the head of this church. Jesus is the one we worship, nobody else. This is his church. You are his people. You're not my people. Jesus put me here. You called me here in Jesus' name to lead and guide you in God's way of life. And we believe that Jesus is working among us, that Jesus is here, that his spirit fills us. And so like Philip, and Samuel, and Nathaniel, and Paul, and Peter, and so many saints before us, and for us, we commit ourselves again every day to follow the one who died for us, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Let us...